The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Holy shit, it's like we're broadcasting. Who the fuck would ever know? It's Tuesday night. No, what am I talking about? It's Wednesday night, March 20th, 2024. It's 11 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, 8 p.m. on the West Coast, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Sydney, Australia, at the beautiful Sydney Opera House, and 10 p.m. Central Daylight Time here where I'm sitting in Ilhan Omar's district in Northeast Minneapolis. I am Jim Peters, and you are watching Jim Peters Tonight. This is episode number 99, and you know what that means. The next one is our 100th show, and I'll get to that in just a second. So, also, we're taking tomorrow night off. Sorry about that. But at any rate, our guest tonight, our monthly appearance of the dynamic duo. No, it's not Batman and Robin, but it's close. Jennifer Oliver O'Connell from RedState.com, Jeff Meyer from Conk.com. They're going to be joining us in just a few minutes. We shoot the shit on all sorts of stuff. Jennifer writes. Jeff opines. I was just talking before we went on the air here about the fact that Rand Paul. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so hold on a second. Let me bring up the list. Jesus Christ. What am I doing? Do I even know what I'm talking about? No. Okay, so tonight we got the JLO and the Meyer. Tomorrow night, we're taking the night off. We usually work on Thursdays. Will you do a show? No, not tomorrow night. Monday night's our 100th show. Murray Sabrin, economist extraordinaire, is going to be our guest. He was the guest on our very first show, number one, on July 31st of last year. So I thought it was only fitting that we bring him back to the 100th show. Besides, we haven't talked to him in a while. And what I was going to say is that Meyer and I were talking before we went on the air here. Murray is still, I got to check in with him. We'll find out. He's still predicting a major recession before the end of this year. Now, most economists have bolted on that, but he still is. And Rand Paul was on Tucker Carlson last night or the night before, I can't remember. And he is predicting what he calls a major black swan event. And yes, you want to see the economy blow up? Holy shit. It's going to happen, folks. Like a friend of mine in finance says, you know, the thing is nobody knows when, but no, it's going to happen. You know, well, you want to take our bets to see if it's going to happen before the end of the year or at least before the election. You know, that'll be interesting. So that's Monday. Our one of the show. We're going to play the new Gun Hill Road music video for their new song called Damn Scammers. And Michael Harrison, our friend from Doctors Magazine, he is in that band. That band has been running for about 60 years. No shit. I mean, they were one of those popular, like, psychedelic bands in the 1960s, and they're still going, and they're still putting out music videos. And the real amazing thing is, well, it's partly because of Michael's, connection with talk radio in America. He's the founder and publisher of Talkers Magazine, which is the industry Bible for talk media in the United States. It's partly because of that, but they get their songs played mostly on talk radio, but believe it or not, because they're mostly issue-oriented. Like this one is about phishing scams on the internet. So we're going to play their video, their new video on Monday night. Michael, unfortunately, won't be able to join us. He's having surgery tomorrow. So we'll see. I'm going to see if I can get him a call in. A few minutes, maybe incoherent on drugs or something. But, you know, hell, I'm incoherent on drugs most of the time. Tuesday of next week, Bruce Rapoano, he's a biologist. He's also a guy who says he's been abducted by aliens. He's written a book called Dominion Lost. Half of the book is about his experiences. The other half of the book is his interpretation as a scientist and how they get these UFOs to fly. And it's and I'll be blunt with you. I'll talk to him about this. The scientific part of his book, I do not think is for the faint of heart. I mean, I had no trouble with it, but I'm kind of used to this sort of stuff. And I found it highly interesting, really. But you might have a hard time plowing through it. I mean, it's kind of dense in the quantum physics stuff. There's no formulas or anything like that. Once again, I would say the same thing I said about Patrick Moore's book, and that is Mr. Raparano made this subject as simple as he could make it concerning what's going on. And that's a kudos to him. I say that as a distinct compliment. But it was fascinating nonetheless. I mean, he's got some theories and all these things fly. So I'm talking to Les Velez last night. We had a fantastic conversation. And Les says he talked to Luis Alejandro, this guy who's been on all the, who used to run the ATIP program for the government. He's on a zillion television shows. And he said, you know, the standard, people are starting to accept now the standard explanation by Bob Lazar that the spacecraft that the aliens are flying use element 115, which we now call muscovium. But in the early 90s, when Lazar said he was working on this, we hadn't discovered it yet. And I don't think they discovered it in 2006, I think. But Luis Alejandro told Les Velez privately, and he said he was speaking out of school. He mentioned on our show, he said that that Alejandro said, no, that's not true. That's not how it works. So anyway, people trying to figure shit out. So we're going to have a fantastic, and also, like I said, Raparano says he's been abducted several times. So we got that too. So we're going to have an interesting conversation with him. Thursday of next week, Jazz Shar, old friend from Salem Media, is going to be joining us. He's the weekend editor of hotair.com, and he writes about conservative politics and UFOs, and that's what we talk about. And usually it's like a sexual experience for me. So, he's a very attractive man. What do I say? All right, and then the Monday, April 1st, that'll be a week from this coming Monday, we have it's our month in a review panel, which consists of Tim Conaway, Don Zorro, and Larry Newman, and we will just chew the fat about what's happened this month. It's basically just an excuse for old guys to get together outside of the coffee shop. That's all it is. So that's what we got going on here. So now tonight, I encourage all of you to call in. This is live. We got Meyer here and O'Connell here. They're live. So you can call in three ways. You can either go to the webpage, jimandnight.com/call, with your webcam. Press the big button at the top of the screen, and you're in the video queue, and we'll put you on the screen, and you can talk to us live. That's live video. I just want to remind you, and I think this is the reason people don't like to do this very often, you will be live on the screen with us, okay? If you don't want your face shown, I suggest use the audio phone number, and that's 563-999-3435. You can call like that, and then it's voice only. And you can text in real time while the show's going on. That number is 408-458-5088. It's on the bottom of the screen here. I'll read your text. So there's that too. So, and finally, I'm going to do this. Mr. Meyer, he's our sponsor, but I'm going to do this before we put him on, because I actually get to get the conference page out of the video queue, which is kind of always clogged up. So here's that. This is the front page of Conk News in real time. Now, I've got a couple of things, so I set this up about 20, 25 minutes ago. And then you look at the top left here, it says VA to ditch 10,000 employees. Well, it's not like the government to fire people, so they must be really, really low on money. And then here in the middle is what I was talking about just a second ago. Ron Paul warns Tucker Carlson of imminent black swan events. Now, these are this last article here is from, you see this little, there's a little logo at the bottom of that, underneath that photo. That's 100% fedup.com. The one over here on the left, top left, that little logo, that little flame, that's hotair.com. Conk is a news aggregator. It takes stories from 75 different news sources and lays them out on the front page in newspaper style. And this is free. And it does this every 3 hours. You know, you can read this at 10 in the morning. This page is long enough so you can spend 2-3 hours plowing through it. You can go back to 2 o'clock and most of it's different. And this happens 8 times a day in the middle of the night even. So this is, if you're a news junkie, you can't do better than this. You truly can't. I check this constantly. You know, I know a lot of other people do. Like I said, it's completely free. They run ads, of course, no problem, you know, but you don't have to pay a thing. You don't even have to sign up. So that's that. That's at conk.com, conk.com with a C. So that's my obligation. And with that, with any further ado, I'm going to put the dynamic duo on the screen here. Here's 12 minutes of music. Enjoy yourself. Okay, we're here. Jennifer, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
You're in the middle.
I am.
Yeah, and Jeff is in his second floor of his 6-car garage in Prior Lake, Minnesota. How are you doing?
Anticipating a lot of snow this week, so yes.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about that, because I know, you know, I just assume everybody's fascinated by the Minnesota weather. We didn't have winter, and so in summer or spring started last night, actually while we were doing the show in real time, and now they're saying we're going to get snow. We barely had snow all winter. Crazy.
Global warming.
Of course it is. Right. That's right. Yeah. You know, I'm laughing. You know that.
You got it. Drinking the Kool-Aid.
All right. How are you guys doing? Jennifer, how are you doing?
Hanging in there.
Good. I went through some of your articles on Red State to just get an idea what to talk about. But the first thing I have here, and I know Jeff has a few things too, and he will throw them out as soon as I get a brain fart because I need to be rescued regularly. My first thing is China. So here's the deal. So there are now experts saying that China is truly preparing to go to war with us. You know. And the other thing is, and then the other side of that is TikTok. And this is nuts. You know, the kids are calling up congressmen and threatening their lives. What Fox News played this tape tonight of a call, this girl, and I'm saying girl, I don't even think she's 16 years old. She's calling up and telling the congressman, she says, I'm going to come and shoot you. And she's laughing. They don't take any of this serious at all. But, you know, but seriously, they got their... Their little app. And Jennifer, have you been on TikTok?
Here and there. I have an account just for purposes of going on and finding a particular video that could be a topic of conversation, and that's about it.
Now, I'm going to the assumption you haven't, because you sent me onto TikTok when I worked for you. So I don't know if you're, this is about 2-3 years ago, you said, check this TikTok thing out to see if you want to be involved in this, and I did. And so this is the two things that came out of that. First of all, you can access TikTok on your desktop web, but if you actually want to sign up for an account, you have to download the app. You can only do it on your phone. And secondly, I was appalled by what I saw. I'm looking at this, I mean, these kids think this is entertainment. It's like, you know, but there's one thing that no one actually mentions, none of the adults in the room mention of this, and that is one of the reasons this is so popular, and I noticed it even, Jeff, when I was doing that for you, is one of the reasons is that this app is really well constructed. The interface is really good. It's really easy to get around. It's really easy to find shit. I mean, frankly, once again, the Chinese took one of our ideas and they did it better than we did. I mean, that's problem. That's part of the problem here. Comments, anyone?
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, to me, this is just another look over here about, oh, we have to get rid of it. They're taking our information. If you have never heard of Street View, that's some low-level satellites that the police departments use. So if you call 911 before the dispatcher your 911 operator answers the phone, Street View pulls up your phone. And they can see instantaneously seconds before they answer it. And so...
You mean like where you are, you mean?
Yeah. And yeah. They can watch you. They can watch. They can follow you. They want to follow you. They can let the officers know what's going on. And so really TikTok versus our government, to me, it's a red herring. It is an absolute red herring.
Well,
leave it up to the Republicans to get double hooked by it.
Their undies in a bundle.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not the only person who mentioned this. Like, you had 170 million teenagers on this. How valuable is that data? You know?
Yeah.
Okay, you know what kind of shoes they want to buy. You know that, you know, but... You know, it's not like there's any sort of great military secret that's going through this, you know.
What are the Chinese going to get from a blackmail you as a 17-year-old? I mean, I don't, to me, it's just more dust in the air so you can't see through the dust to see what is actually going to come at you and knock you over. So TikTok, the Chinese beat us again. And, the way to not fix it is to just throw them out. That's not a good way of going against your competitors. It's build something better.
Well, Jennifer, everyone else is saying right now that pretty much everyone, Republicans and Democrats, nobody actually wants to cut this off because nobody wants to piss off the young voters.
I don't even think it has anything to do with the young voters, particularly some of the senators, actually some representatives as well, Thomas Massey, Rand Paul, I think Mike Lee as well. They are all against it because there are all of these poison pills embedded in the bill, basically allowing the government to take over the internet.
Yeah.
Bringing back net neutrality and other things that... to shut down one app, we're giving away the farm.
Yeah, well, this is kind of what Jeff's talking about. It's almost like, look over here, right? We're looking at TikTok, and in the meantime, it's draconian, basically, what this bill is.
Yeah, and it's not even a look over here. It's basically, let's just hide it all in this bill, and then you'll, as Nancy Pelosi so famously said, you'll find out what's in it once we pass it.
Yes, which is, that'll go down in history.
Anything with the government trying to regulate anything of free speech, of the internet. I mean, look at what's happening with Murphy v. Missouri, with them using social media to censor, government saying social media, you need to censor all of this misinformation and all of these accounts and all that stuff. They'll have carte blanche to do that if they pass this quote-unquote TikTok bill.
Hey, let me ask you.
I'm all for dealing with Japanese incursion, but to me, as kind of like what Jeff says, the way you do is build a better mousetrap and, teach parents to cut that stuff off from their kids.
Yeah, and that's kind of a sin here, like Jeff was saying. They built a better mousetrap. We have social media. You know, the kids like this because it's just so – it's better than the other shit. You know, we just, when I say we, I mean this show, we just got tossed off Facebook. And I'm not going to fight them because I don't know if you guys been on Facebook recently. The interface is awful. It's terrible.
It really is. It's like worse and worse.
Yes, yeah. It's getting worse and worse, right? It's confusing. Every 5 seconds they turn around and try to sell you something. It's like, Jesus, I'm not even fighting it. It's like, fuck it, So, this leads me to a question, a general question to you guys, talking about trying to censor the public, which you're talking about, Jennifer. Why do you think this is happening now? What has come together in the zeitgeist to make government? It does seem that all the governments in the world are really basically trying to crack down on their citizens. Why? Or why now? Jeff?
They most governments are bankrupt, right? They're and I'm not talking the Democrats versus the Republicans. I'm just talking about the model the governments have had.
And are you talking about monetarily or morally?
No, morally.
Uh-huh.
Which causes the money to be a problem too, right?
Yeah.
Because they're directing money at things that are a waste the money and don't solve the problems. I mean, I just look at this, the business model used by the United States government to just let the borders open based on hoping these people that come through will vote for them. So that's, if you got a plus minus column on a piece of paper, on the plus side for the government, and we'll say the Democrats will get most of the votes, they get a one in the plus column for potential voters.
Uh-huh.
In the minus column, you get disease spreaders, people that are, you know, don't understand the language, aren't going to assimilate. I mean, there's so many negatives. You look at it and go, well, it never affects that government. So they don't care. And it's not about humanity. It's not about anything. It's just they think they're going to do this test of letting all these people flood. Europe already did it. And then they'll just deal with the problem after. I mean, measles spreading across cities like Minneapolis because of all the immigrants that aren't vaccinated.
Do you think it's also cheap labor?
Well, how many drywall people do you need?
Well, see, that's
how many cutters do you need?
That's the reason I asked too, because that's exactly, you know, they live in 10 million people, but right, how many of those jobs do you need filled? And also, you're filling them with people who literally can't speak English. You know,
yeah.
I mean, how can you communicate?
They're not letting in lawyers and doctors. They're not letting in professionals from Nicaragua or wherever they're coming from. They're letting in, you know, just non-contributors. They aren't. I mean, so what if they cut grass? They get $10.
Right.
Bucks. That doesn't help anyone.
No, And Jennifer, especially with AI raising its ugly head now, how many low-skilled laborers do you need? You know, I mean, I'm totally with Jeff on this. I don't think it actually makes any sense on the surface, you know?
I don't even see it as a, you know, oh, these people are coming in here for work. Who are they releasing? They're releasing the mentally ill. They're releasing violent criminals. And literally shoving them across the border. So as Trump has said, what we're seeing is a whole new class of criminals.
Yeah, no, don't make fun of those people, Jennifer, because they're the people that watch this show.
Lovely, yeah. So you've got nothing but I'm convinced it's about population control. It's very much Hunger Games. It's very much maybe odds ever be in your favor. If you're fortunate enough to be able to have, you know, walls and security, then you're fine. If you are not fortunate enough, if you are out in the hinterlands, which is where they're sending a lot of these people, and you don't have guns and, you know, self-awareness, then you're just in trouble. And they're doing it on a number of fronts. To me, the illegal issue is a major front, obviously, but it's just one front of all the ways that whoever it is, the WEF and the minions in our government are trying to control the population and shave it down using the excuse of climate change, using the excuse of, you know, eugenics or whatever. Is their bizarre reasoning and their warped reasoning. That's what they're using, and they're doing it from a number of fronts.
I just mentioned, I had David Strom on here a few days ago, and him and I were talking about this, and I happened to mention to him that, you know, Tucker Carlson's been talking for quite a while about the quote-unquote replacement theory. And, I understand the concept, but my feeling was, well, no, it's not so much replacement as it is additive. But then I saw this story that was from Colorado. They built this outside of Denver. They built this apartment complex, and they were going to give the units to homeless veterans. And the last minute, they changed their mind and decided to give them to undocumented illegals coming into the country. And then I thought, No, that's actually replacement theory. They actually replaced homeless veterans with these people, illegal people coming in. And that's what I'm starting to think that you're right, Jennifer. It's actually, there's somewhere, it's literally population control. I mean, this is Hunger Games shit.
And they've done it before. I mean, there's a series on Netflix called Warrior, and it's about the Chinese immigrants coming into San Francisco in the 1880s, 1850s to 90s, something like that.
Yeah.
They don't really nail the time frame down. But, I mean, it's super violent and graphic sex. It's all Netflix puts together. But the core of it is you have Irish workers that are starving, and they keep importing and building Chinatown, and the government just lets the cops beat the piss out of the Chinese, and then the Chinese come back and beat the piss out of the white people. I mean, and the government just sits back and says, oh, how's this experiment working? Oh, looks okay.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's, and that started before, and, you know, and so this is, you know, like take 10 of doing this. We had the Hmong come into the Minnesota very heavily during their issue. I mean, the Somalis, Jennifer's 100% correct. This is, get this diversity of people that aren't assimilated. And when you say everyone's got to stop, they're going to stop because they don't know anything. They came from a country where when the government says stop, you stop. So if there's 10 of them and one of you, you're going to end up stopping just out of sheer numbers.
Not to be master of the obvious, but you're talking about Hmong people and Somalis coming to Minnesota, which is like the place on the planet that's the least like the place they came from, you know? I mean, it's crazy.
It's also people who, I've been told that Minnesota are full of nice people and very open door people, Mennonites and all of that stuff. So they target places where the people are just like, oh, yeah, it's okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Come on, Dennis. You know, we welcome everybody. And they're unaware of the Trojan horse. They're unaware of people coming in basically which means harm. I mean, and now we see the harm being done by lovely Ilhan Omar and Tlaib and all of these people who basically have come in to destroy, not to assimilate, not to attain the American dream, but I mean, it's Sun Tzu, the art of war. How do you destroy?
Jennifer, Jeff will attest to this. We have the highest concentration of Somali criminals in the entire United States. That's actually true.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, they run.
Crime syndicates.
Right. That's right. Not to mention the fact she's paying everybody to vote for her. So.
Yeah.
And I that's my personal speculation, but I just want to point out the Star Tribune, our local newspaper, they said the same thing. So that's like $200 for your vote.
No, but it's been, there's been investigative reporting by the Free Beacon, probably by your Tribune paper. Several people have documented. I think O'Keefe, before he ended up leaving Project Veritas and starting his own shop, he also exposed her voter fraud, paying people to vote for her.
Right, and apparently she also can't keep her brother and her husband straight. I don't quite understand that either, but. You know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm terrible.
It's just more of the smoke and mirrors, and I mean they get you bouncing off the walls. That doesn't matter to anything other than she has the power in Congress.
Yes, very true.
Everyone's life.
Right.
Very
she
true.
Has, you know, she has the power to cast a vote.
Yes.
Be ruled by whoever.
Well, not to get in the weeds here, but I'm under the impression, Jeff, she's actually going to have some legitimate competition for the Democratic primary. People are kind of...
Yeah, because Don Samuelson figured out, how to take her on.
Yeah.
He's a former Minneapolis City Councilman, been a real advocate for trying to improve kind of North Minneapolis, the poorer town of the poorer area of the down of the Minneapolis kind of outskirts. And
He barely lost last time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah. I mean, and that's what it takes. You got to kind of learn you know, it should be what Trump does. Is Trump going to repeat the same mistakes or does he learn? And no one knows until you vote for him, put him in power, and then
right.
sit back and wait.
Well, so far, since you brought this up, so far, as far as the campaign's concerned, it seems like he's learned. I mean, he seems significantly more restrained than he has been in the past. And I'm saying that's because time ever, he's actually ahead. You know, he's always been in an underdog position. Now he's actually leading. I think he's finally decided maybe he will just kind of sort of shut up. I don't know. What do you?
Yeah, I haven't followed him much. You know, I mean, I'm a, you know, a loyal MSNBC morning Joe guy. So,
yeah, you are.
You know, according to them, he's, you know, he can't do anything right other than beat their president. But again, that's where this bankruptcy of ideas is going to come. And it really, it'll haunt the Republicans as well, because they don't have much more to offer because they've never delivered. So they bring empty promises. I was going through, because on Morning Joe, they, you know, when Putin got reelected, it was like, oh, he's going to be in control of that country for 30 years, right?
Yeah.
So the way I think, and then why I have Conk set up is, how do you get in between the weeds on that? So just bear with me.
Okay.
I was born in 1965. So I went from 1965 to 2025, where the terms will end.
All right.
So I was born when the 88th representatives came on, and it'll end in 2025, the 118th. So that's 30 terms. It covers 60 years.
Uh-huh.
The Democrats have been in control of the House of Representatives for 38 years, and the Republicans 22 years.
Yeah.
Same thing in the Senate. The Democrats have had 38 years and the Republicans have had 20. The Senate, the way they do their math and their terms, and in 2001 to 2003, it was a real CF. You had Gore part of it and then Cheney part. It was just, it was a government shit show. But I'm thinking, okay, so Putin, this evil bastard, 30 years of running, right?
Yeah.
In control. So I took the top, I looked for the longest tenured House and Senate members. Of that 119, 80 Democrats are on that list, 39 Republicans. The Republicans currently have the only guy that's alive. He's at 49 years and 77 days.
Is that Grassley?
Iowa.
Grassley, yeah, Grassley.
Because obviously he's the only guy in the whole fucking state that could be a senator. So he's there 49 years.
I know. It's nuts.
So unless you're 100 years old, this guy's affected your life for 49 years. Good, bad, or ugly.
It's crazy. I know.
Yep. And the next one.
Of course, Les, what does that say about Iowa? Human nature, really.
You get what you vote for.
Right. Right.
Right?
And,
so you
and
can
there
bitch about it.
No desire beyond whoever is funding Grassley. And I like Grassley on a number of levels.
Agreed.
He isn't that good.
No, that's right. Nobody's that good.
And here's my issue with all of these career politicians is that they're too busy maintaining their fiefdom. I mean, look at Mitch McConnell.
Yes. Oh, Mitch is on here for sure.
That when they go haywire, and he's gone haywire, that fall was fatal for him, and he is now forced to step down, and they leave a vacuum. Instead of bringing someone along, instead of mentoring and training the next generation of leaders,
right.
They hold on to their power until there's, you know, a vacuum, and then a vacuum has to be filled. It's usually filled with more negativity as opposed
and
to
Jennifer,
positive.
You've got a really good point here, and I think Jeff can speak to this, and that is in most business, most people mentor their successors, especially in the high end, you know. Most major corporations kind of you know, if something happens, they kind of know what's supposed to, you know, who's next in line. You know, it's kind of, right. Yeah, and here we got, and the thing is, and you're right with Grassley, the one positive thing I'll say about him, he's 93 years old, he's still totally with it, which is actually the freaking amazing, actually. It really is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, but his, the thing is, he's with it with the same old ideas.
Yeah, well, yeah, how could you not?
I mean, it's just human nature.
Right,
it
is.
Before, in your head, it's like,
I have stupid old ideas.
Yeah, I'm a jump shooter. I go back to the jump shot when it's a layup would have been the better choice, you know?
Yeah.
And so, as I look through this list, there's a dude on here, 43 years, 77 days, uninterrupted tenure, Hal Rogers, a Republican from Kentucky. Never heard of him.
Never heard of him. Yeah, you're right.
43 years, never heard of him.
And
never hear of Chris.
That way.
Yeah, ever hear of Chris Smith from New Jersey?
Yeah, actually, I've heard of him, yeah. But.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dick Durbin, yep. Here's a guy, named Marcy Kaptur, Democrat out of Ohio, 41 years.
How long has Durbin been in?
41 years, 70.
No
years.
Shit. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh,
Mitch McConnell has reigned over the United States government 9 years longer than Putin potentially can at 30.
That's incredible.
So if you have a liberal friend or a conservative friend or a Republican friend, whatever, this is how you have to communicate this, because if you're watching this trial today or this deal the House had with Bob Alinsky, the Democrats don't take their teeth off you, and you can't take your teeth off of them either, because they'll say, well, what about Mitch McConnell, Chuck Grassley? 100%, I agree.
Yeah.
But 119 of these people had over 36 years.
That's just astonishing. Thank you
and
for doing this.
Going back to Trojan horses again and kind of tying it into TikTok, who is Mitch McConnell married to? Elaine Chao.
Yeah, right.
And Elaine Chao is part of a family in China, a shipping family in China.
Yeah.
Probably Chinese mafia, no doubt. What happened to her sister? Mysterious death. There's all, but again, distract and, you know, sprinkle fairy dust and let's worry about TikTok when the leader of the Senate has been compromised for generations.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi, 36 years, 292 days.
Yeah.
This is just incredible.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, when someone gets irate, you have to stop. Especially if you're labeled a Republican, you have to stop people and say, hold on here. You're worried about me as a Minnesota Viking fan winning the Super Bowl? 58 years, we've never done it. We aren't in any control. We're like the Republican Party. We've never been in control. You make it sound like we're this bad guy. We have no control. You should look in the mirror and say, am I the problem? Looking at the Republicans who are an underdog or never have the majority for any kind of power, and the Democrats are in power and life sucks. I voted for the Democrats. I just said it to a very good friend. I said, hey, look in the mirror. You vote for these people that have the power. Don't tell me Ted Cruz has any power. He can speak well to subjects, but he can't change anything. He's powerless. And here you talk about him. Look in the mirror. The people you're putting in power are not improving your life.
Yeah.
Now, it sounds like I'm changing the subject here, but I'm actually not. So I went to my brother-in-law's birthday party last Friday night, right? And my mother, you know, she's 5 months away from 100 years old. She decides she wants to talk about politics. Nobody does. We're avoiding politics. And people, they know I do this show, you know, so, and I don't bring it up. So, okay, but my mother, she wants to talk about politics. So the whole thing it devolves into bullshit. But the interesting thing is my sister has a good friend of hers that I went to school with, really nice woman, really smart. And she, you know, she doesn't like Trump, and okay, that's fine. But she starts talking about the stuff she's talking about. And both of you people in news, this is reason I'm bringing this up. every single fact she brought up about Trump was actually wrong. And every single one, you know, it's like, I mean, where do I even start? I read the news and you guys do too. You know, it's like we're a little plugged in more than most people. But here you're talking about a fairly intelligent woman who's getting her news from generally accepted sources, and it's all incorrect completely. You know, she talked about the bloodbath thing. She talked about Trump said he's going to be a dictator on day one, blah, 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 blah. None of this stuff's actually, well, the dictator thing actually did come out of his mouth, but, you know, in context, he was joking. I mean, you know, so, but that's the problem. You know, he has actually said a few of these things, but they're never taken the way they were, the way they were intended. And then I don't even know what to say. I mean, you know, and so, and then Jennifer, you were talking about, you wrote a piece about the New York Times. What was it here? You know what I'm talking about?
They are afraid of Trump's paranoia about the deep state.
Yeah, right, exactly.
The deep state is wonderful. Government is good.
I know. So it's hilarious, really. Actually, it's funny. Yeah. So I had another guy on the show named Davis Hunt, and he runs a local Nashville news outlet called The Pamphleteer, which is quite highly regarded. And also, he's pretty cool because he's a pretty young guy. He's only 33 years old. We had a great conversation. But him and I were talking about how much the mainstream media lies, and a friend of mine is watching, and he said, you're saying that the New York Times lies a lot? And he said, I need an example. And I got to admit, there's so many of them, I couldn't think of one. You know, I didn't know what to tell him. What do you actually
say? The best thing to say to people is watch Don Lemon talk to Elon Musk, a perceived intelligent man who's in the news business, try to explain censorship to someone who has an open, uncensored media platform, and just watch Elon go. Have you watched that video of that interview?
Yeah.
I mean, the last 15 minutes, you can just see Elon's like, this guy, I can't laugh at him. He's just that disconnect. He just doesn't understand because he hears what he wants to hear and never doubts himself.
Yeah.
And that's why I bring this list. I printed this from the Google. Right?
Uh-huh.
I didn't make this up. Go to the Google. Go check your thoughts. Because this election is going to come down to, you're going to get pressure that Trump wants a bloodbath.
Well, yeah.
If you don't understand, if you heard the whole quote, that's one thing. It's no different than Dick Cheney and those guys talking about weapons of mass destruction. You know, I had the fish hook in my mouth for all of that stuff. Never again. It's like, I don't believe any of them, and no one should.
Well, that's where I'm at this point too, Jeff. At this point, I don't believe anything that comes out of the government at all. I don't even believe the Congressional Budget Office figures anymore. I don't believe them. I've given up, you know. I mean, this is the same thing. The Biden campaign says they've raised like $150 million. Like, who can verify that, you know? You know, it's like, who knows?
And that's part of the problem is that they get away with it because no one is bothering to.
Yeah.
No one is interested in digging. They are interested in protecting. It goes back to that whole political fiefdom. It's the same thing with media fiefdoms. They are interested in protecting their turf and protecting their access. And so they're going to do whatever it takes to do that.
This wasn't on my list tonight. You guys are both in the news business. So Semaphore wrote an article recently about the fact that the reason they're there in their mind, one of the reasons there's no real hard-hitting investigative or real journalism anymore is because too many people are getting sued for it, you know? I mean, I suppose there's something to that, you know?
Well, who is that?
You know, I'm not telling anything out of turn. It's public record, but the managing editor of Red State, Jennifer Van Laar, has gotten sued twice by Katie Hill. She broke the Katie Hill story. Remember Katie Hill?
Yeah.
Cool Katie Hill. She broke that story for Red State. You know, factual, documented, the whole nine yards.
Right.
Katie Hill sued her. She lost. Filed for bankruptcy.
Oh, you mean Katie Hurt?
Katie Hill sued Jennifer Van Laar.
And Van Laar lost?
No.
Hill lost.
Yeah. Hill was ruled against, required to pay Van Laar's fees. She filed for bankruptcy to skirt those fees. And then she tried to sue her and Daily Mail and some other outlets under, in California, it's called SLAPP or anti-SLAPP, you know, saying that, oh, you slandered my name and you've defamed my name. And again, she lost that. But this is, you know, Van Laar is saddled with all of these legal fees that she does have to pay. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And what average most of the journalists breaking this stuff are independent journalists under threat of death or needing funding or whatever. And so you have that aspect of legally, how are you going to pay for this if someone does sue you? Secondly, you also have the whole deplatforming thing that goes on. I mean, maybe Musk will be legit, maybe he won't. I still am not sure which side his bread's buttered on, frankly.
Yeah.
I agree.
So someone could easily be deplatformed when they expose something.
You know,
or killed. You know, Arkansas side is real.
Jennifer, you know? I have to interrupt you for just a second because the one thing that got lost in the story of Musk canning Don Lemon is that Lemon gets on, you know, CNN. He says, well, he deplatformed me, you know. It's like, you know, but the thing that got lost is that Musk did not kick Lemon off.
Well,
of,
no, he's just not going to give him any.
Right. He's just not paying him. He's not going to pay him. No, he said, you can post. You can put up your stupid little videos. You know, I'm not going to stop you there.
And they can be monetized underneath the premium. And
right.
Others,
yeah, you can just run it. I'm just not going to pay any extra. That's what it was, you know.
Any type of exclusivity like Tucker has.
Yeah, he's apparently not going to get his $5 million. That's awful. I don't know why you would deny Don $5 million, but, I mean, he needs to go on vacation.
Well, because Don wasn't ready for the big time.
Yeah, and why not?
He was being coddled, and when he got into the big boy ring, he got Mike Tyson. He's like, everyone's got a plan until you get punched. I got punched, couldn't recover from it. I mean, it just happens every day.
Words of wisdom,
you know,
John Jeffrey.
Jennifer, I think I'm thinking of the reporter that just, I think she was at Fox, and they just took her laptop.
Kathleen Herridge.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
I mean, that stuff, again, the Democrats, you know, when I was going at my friend, I was like tired of it. I'm like, we were driving back from northern Wisconsin, and he's got to bring up this stupid political stuff. And I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, in the end, the Democrat Party has the best wingman possible, and that's a willing media.
Yep.
And if you think that the media is telling you the truth, you're even dumber. I mean, if you can't watch Tucker Carlson or Sean Hannity and get through their show without being a little sissy and turning it off, you don't have a brain. Because
right.
You should. I tough out MSNBC. There's so many times I'm like, I got to turn it off. But you know what? I'm trying to understand that perspective of I know everything, because if I get trapped in that I know everything, it's never led down a good path for me business-wise, in my marriage, any of that stuff. It's a death trap to I know more than everyone else, and that's a bad branch to be on.
All right, so this, I put this in my notes for tonight, so you just segued into this, Jeffrey. Okay, so what about the awfuls? You know, the affluent white female liberals? Now, Jeff, you and I have talked about this many times. Liberals have two things in common. They're never, ever wrong, and even when they are wrong, they never, ever apologize, you know?
Right.
So
they never say they're sorry.
They never say they're sorry. So, Jennifer,
you liberal means never having to say you're sorry.
Yeah, that's right. You're the woman here. Are we being a little harsh on this? I hate to say this. I am getting misogynistic about this stuff. Here's another statistic. College in Finland does a study about woke ideology, you know. Okay, this is what they concluded. 6,000 people they interviewed. Women, 3 out of every 5 women, 60% of all women basically buy more or less what you'd call woke ideology. Only 15% of the men do. So, and then you get to the books like Smart Woman, Stupid Choices. How about this? Maybe you're actually stupid. maybe it's not a stupid choice. Maybe you're stupid, you know? And so now, I mean, this is awful. I mean, I did not grow up this way, but I'm really starting to think that these white women, man, it's like, you know, it's like, and I can talk to you because you're not one of them. But still.
Definitely not.
But this is, and what is wrong with these people? They're driving the entirety of liberalism, and they're crazy.
Too much money, too much time on their hands.
Too much time?
They haven't been carjacked. They get carjacked, wokeness is out.
Like, right? What do you mean, Jeff?
Carjacked. If these women are at the mall, someone comes up and brandishes a gun, wokeness is over.
Oh, yeah,
now they're yelling for the cops.
Right.
They're
it's like the president of the Minneapolis City Council, you know?
That happened in one of the municipalities, whether it was Minneapolis.
Here, it was here, yeah.
President
of the city council was all for defund to the police until she got mugged. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, where are the police? Oh, geez, who got rid of them?
Jim, I think earlier you came up with a nice, you know, GAAP, generally accepted practices for accounting?
Yes, I do.
Up with GAS, generally accepted sources for media people.
That's
GAS,
good, Jeff. That's
right?
Really good.
Generally accepted sources. If you don't question them, just like generally accepted accounting practices, you know, I'm glad all you accountants agree. You're just a branch of the federal government because you do want to get paid and you don't want to get in trouble. So you just follow their stupid shit. You never say, this is the dumbest thing ever. And so I think that's something you should use is, you know, this is a GAS source.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good.
So you had that. I know we're getting long in the tooth on, I've thought about this, came to me driving up north. It's where my brain kind of just, I follow the same trail. I listen to books, but the commercial for Wesley Financial Group. These are timeshare people. Generally, this commercial is run on conservative radio, but I guess you'll see them on TV, on CNN. Anyway,
yeah, forgive me, but it's to get out of your timeshare, right?
Correct. It's you've been misled. So
yes,
I give kudos to Chuck McDowell who started this, but I took this commercial and put it down. And wherever you hear timeshares, just insert Democrat promises, right? So this is how this goes.
Oh, you're batting a thousand right, man.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm. This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. Same thing as a Democrat promise.
Right.
It's The Ugly Truth About a Democrat Promise. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a Democrat promise, you need help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshares. In the process, started what's now called timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy, but you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for an annual maintenance and assessment fee. The crazy thing is, even when you die, your family is now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office. I do this in jest, but insert anything where timeshare blank check and put in, this goes to me. If you tell a kid, get involved, get working, you know what? You just signed them up for a timeshare. They never will know how much taxes they'll have to pay. The government will always be a burden on them until they die. Radio clip should be the poster child of why people should just say to the government, stop. You're a timeshare. I'm out. There's something called the timeshare cancellation industry, and we need that for American politics.
I don't understand. Yeah, go ahead, Jen.
That's the American people saying no more.
Yeah.
I mean, it needs to be a revolution like the Boston Tea Party where we're just throwing it all in the river.
It does seem like that because...
And very few people wish to do that.
All they ever talk about is raising taxes constantly. I don't understand. How much can you raise taxes? And then there's these schemes, you know, Elizabeth Warren was on the frickin' tube today about her ultra wealth tax. Yeah, you know, here's the problem with that. Even if you're going to buy the fact that that's kosher and it isn't, but even if you're going to, there's only 1,000 billionaires in America. You're not. Oh, what did I hear? He even said this during the State of the Union. We can by taxing billionaires, we can raise, what was it, $500 billion in 10 years. That's $50 billion a year. The government goes through that in an afternoon. That's not money. It's bullshit. They just wanted to, they're just trying to stop people, you know?
It's a timeshare.
Yeah.
It's all a timeshare.
And these agencies, these unconstitutional, I mean, deep state, if you want to go back to my article, I mean, they literally put up the numbers of how much annually these agencies get. The EPA, $5 billion? I mean, excuse me?
Right.
Why is that billion with a B? Why are we paying our tax dollars for an agency that's doing nothing? The Department of Labor, so many million to destroy the people who pay taxes.
Yeah.
To destroy small business.
I still remember this is about... This is during the Obama administration. Maybe it's the early 2000s. And I ended up hearing Elizabeth Warren talk at a conference here in Minneapolis. And she came up and gave her talk. And, you know, she was entrusted because it was her idea. She started, what's it called, the Consumer Protection Agency or something like that, you know. And she's just talking offhand. She just said an offhand comment. She said, yeah, well, when we went to hire out the first 1,000 employees, I thought, what, you hired 1,000 employees? Like, what the fuck for? What are they doing? Yeah. You know?
You didn't need them because it was growing. You just started at 1,000.
That's right. You started at 1,000. That's right. It's like, holy shit. It's like, but nobody, you know, nobody.
Little instances of how business actually operates because, hello, she's never run a business.
No. And not only that, I don't know if, and no one noticed, this is basically a public version of the Better Business Bureau. They're already doing it.
Right.
You know, they're doing it as a nonprofit organization.
Replicating agencies.
That's right.
Already doing it, and yeah, just creating more bureaucracy.
Oh man.
Well, to prove they are doing something.
This is the problem. Every time Jeff comes on, it gets depressing.
Come on. I've said this before, Jim. Obviously, we're in hard times. Our parents and grandparents went through hard times. They were fine in the end.
Yeah.
For the most part. But you have to pick if you're going to be fine or not. So first of all, you got to get comfortable with my bag of toys might go away. I can get it again down the road, but it might have to go away to Jennifer's point because I have to throw it in the harbor for the tea party.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. The other thing is, you're living it real time. Enjoy the ride. Be someone who makes a contribution.
Right.
I have one last thing. And I say this, I'm not a preacher, but this is from Martin Luther. He said, if you preach the gospel in all aspects, with the exception of the issues which deal specifically with your time, you are not preaching the gospel at all.
Hmm.
As a lay person, I translate this as I can bitch about how long and how bad the branch of the legislative branch is, but unless I can bring facts to people, like, I'm not saying they're there too long. Here's the years they've been there too long. You wouldn't see a doctor who's 85 years old.
No, I wouldn't.
You want to see a 55-year-old.
Right.
And then another 55-year-old. In other words, you wouldn't vote for the same person, no matter how comfortable you are, because in the end, you're a frog getting the slow boil, and that's where we're at.
Yeah. You know, Jeffrey, you may not be a preacher, and I say this in all seriousness, but you are a teacher. You know, it's like, I'm lucky. I got a lot of people that come on the show, you too, Jennifer, who come on the show that have a message and they have a mission. You know, it's like, I have a lot of people, and I want to thank both of you guys for doing that. It's like, people need to hear this stuff. The problem with being in the conservative media is we are outgunned, both in terms of money and also, lack of a better term, people. But our collective voice can kind of make up for it. So, you know, it's just a matter of getting on the frickin' tube and pounding away, you know. So, yeah. I tell you what, we'll leave it at that for tonight. How's that sound? Is that good?
Good.
I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you very much.
You.
You know, yeah, we'll, I'll see you soon. Thank you, really.
Sounds good.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll take it up in a month.
Yeah,
take
we
care.
Will.
Bye, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
That's Jeff Meyer from Conk.com, CONK.com, and Jennifer Oliver O'Connell from RedState.com. They come on once a month as the dynamic duo. That was pretty cool. You know, I was actually totally serious about the fact that, you know, I am lucky, and I'd like to think that by extension you are too. Forgive me if there's any arrogance involved there. I got a lot of people come on the show who have a they have a mission and they have a message, and both those people have that. So, I mean, none of us are getting rich, folks, I got to tell you. And, you know, Jennifer actually alluded to this about the fact that, there is money in the news media is basically evaporating, which is one of the reasons these huge organizations are kind of going down the tubes. I've talked about this in the past, but there's no way I can even emphasize this enough. Nobody's watching CNN. Their ratings have been going at a straight downward graph for 3 years. Right now, they aren't even cracking 500,000 people in prime time. And on cable television, basically anything under 1 million people is zero, statistically kind of, you know. And not only that, their ratings are still going down. That's the amazing thing. You'd think they couldn't go down any lower. And they said, no, nobody's watching this. Nobody is, you know. And, well, of course, they've completely blown their credibility. That's the problem. Everyone knows they're lying. So, you know, like I was telling the panel, what do I say to my friends who say the mainstream media is actually lying to me? These are people who've been, you know, they've been reading the New York Times for 30 years, you know, and one of my friends said, well, if this is happening, I actually have to know about this. And he said, give me an example. And I literally, off the top of my head, there's so many, I couldn't think of one, you know, I mean, John Nolte, he publishes it regularly. There's a list. He publishes on Breitbart a list of all the things the mainstream media have lied about in the last 10 years. Now, and I'm not talking, you know, these aren't little lies about the fact, you know, that Trump said, you know, 10,000 troops and turned out to be 20,000 or something like that, or even like a Biden lying about the economy. No, he's talking about major, major things like Russia collusion, you know, the laptop from hell story. 51 people signed a letter that said Hunter Biden's laptop was actually Russian disinformation, and that's completely false. It actually is really his laptop, and he finally admitted it. And so this goes on and on and on, you know. And so Jeff's talking about the fact he watches Morning Joe, and he watches it for the giggles. I mean, it's a terrible program. It's awful. But they are drawing about 1 million people every morning, you know, and between the two of them, they're married to each other. I mean, they're probably taking home at least $10 million a year. I would say probably a good $1 million a month, you know. So they don't have any impetus to stop. Just, you know, keep on doling out the shit. You know, it's just like you're shoveling coal. You're shoveling shoveling bullshit. That's what you're doing, you know. So we're trying not to do that here, you know. I couldn't live with myself otherwise. I've talked about this before, too, and I've used this as an example to really, and I think it's a good example. Nicole Wallace, she does an afternoon show on MSNBC. I've been told by people that know her that she doesn't believe a single thing that comes out of her mouth. You know, she was the press secretary, or one of them, for George W. Bush, going back, you know, 20, 25 years. And so she was, and actually I think technically still is a Republican, but they love to have left-leaning Republicans on that show. It's like, oh, look, we can even get people or conservatives to agree with us. You know, that's sort of bullshit. You know, but I've been told that she does not believe a single thing she says. It's all complete and utter act. I don't know if that's true or not myself. So I can't, I'm hearing this third hand. So I can't verify any of this, but I bring that up here as an example because she's got three little kids. Matter of fact, she just had a baby. Okay. They're paying her I haven't verified this, but this would be a reasonable figure. People say she's getting paid $2 million a year to do this show. Okay. Well, that's a good deal of money. And it's a pretty easy way to make $2 million. I mean, like Kat Timpf was saying, you're not shoveling coal, you know, you know, it's a very, very clean, enjoyable job that you're getting paid a shitload of money for. So if you have children, your primary, and I can say this because I don't have children, but if you have children, as she does, your primary goal in life is to take care of your family. You know, and so I used to think people that got on television and lied, bald-faced lies, were evil, and now I'm tempering that. It's true or not, you know. So they're doing a job. You know, if they didn't do it, somebody else would be doing the same thing. You know, so I don't know. You know, now I don't have children, and I can't do that. It's like if they paid me $2 million a year to say that shit, I'm sorry, I'm out. I know that sounds nuts, but I am. I just can't do it. I've been a performer all my life. I've been in music. I've been on TV and radio. I've been doing this. The only way I know how to do it is to say what I actually think. And that makes the job really easy. It does. I mean, I get on here, you know, and I talk to my friends. I have guests on, you know. It's like it's really easy if you don't have to filter everything you're saying through the thing is this the right thing for me to say? And so, but so I can't, Nicole Wallace just had a baby. She literally just got back from a maternity leave. I can't fault her for making money to take care of her family because for all of us, that's our primary jobs, you know? So I don't know. Life is complicated. You know, when you're young, everything's black and white. And then you get older and things are more and more gray all the time. That's all there is to it. So there's something here. I got two things. And I put this in the show description. Even though I put it in the show description for shows earlier this week. because I can't let go of the story. I can't. I send it to everybody I know. And one of my childhood friends sent me an email back. He said, you know, my life would have been a lot better if I had never read this. And it's the story. Here's the headline from the Daily Star from the UK. The headline is, I was born with two vaginas and I use one for each boyfriend. That's not cheating. Oh, okay. And I have been laughing about this for a week. Okay. If you say so, that's not cheating, I guess, you know, as long as you got to keep them separate, you know, one gets one and the other gets another. And like, that's, yeah, right. And who says what I do isn't enjoyable? Oh, Jesus, you can't make this shit up. And apparently, I can't remember hold on. I can actually have a link here for the story. Let me see if I can actually, the woman's name is Annie Charlotte, and she's 25, and she lives in the UK, and I'm not going to scroll down because there's so many damn ads on that page, it's going to screw my computer up. But, there's a term, medical term for that, condition for women who have been born with two vaginas. It's real. And she has it. And I guess each boyfriend has one. There you go. Then the other story that I talked about earlier this week, too. And this is, I'm repeating this because this actually, the more I think about this, the more this makes sense. Okay. We have people on this show all the time who talk about Bigfoot. Mark Purcell came on. He was the Bigfoot Hunter of the Year. You know, Larry Newman is a certified Bigfoot investigator. Larry's story is very interesting. He was the Bigfoot Field Research Organization recruited him because he was a police investigator. So he knew investigative police procedure. And he says he was a total skeptic when it came to Bigfoot. He didn't buy any of this shit until he said he watched a family of Bigfoot through an infrared camera for an hour in the middle of the forest in the Ozarks in the middle of the night. And he said that changed his mind because he said those weren't people in suits. It's the freaking middle of nowhere. It's 18 degrees outside. These people are not hanging out. And those are Bigfoot. And that's, you know, so, you know, and he admitted he never saw them with his naked eyes because it was so damn dark. Through the infrared camera, he watched them for an hour. That's what he said. So I've talking to all these people, I've come to the conclusion that some part of the Bigfoot lore is real. But we had Larry and two other people on. Daniel Perez was on. He's the editor of the Bigfoot Times. And I can't remember the name of the woman who was on with them. We had a panel and I ran it by them. I said, is Bigfoot a paranormal entity or just an undiscovered primate? And they all, without exception, said it was an undiscovered primate. That's the general rule that people think that we just haven't caught one of these things yet. Now, that may be ridiculous to you, but you go back in history. First of all, the gorilla was not even certified, verified to exist till 1855. We didn't catch one till 1855. The giant squid had been in maritime lore for 2,000 years before in 2006 they finally caught one. So these things, this does happen regularly, you know. So it is perfectly rational that there would be some ape-like creature that lives in the forest of northwestern United States that we have never caught. That makes complete rational sense. But then I have Stan Gordon on. Stan is one of the premier Bigfoot and UFO investigators in America. Matter of fact, I mean, he's one of the premier guests I've had on the show. I had to book him 5 months ahead of time. It's like, that's how busy this guy is. But he says he's studied so many of these things, and I've heard this now from so many people who said he has had so many witnesses who tell him that they've seen Bigfoot, and then Bigfoot disappears right before their eyes, literally poof. He said he had one woman, and I've heard that, and I had actually heard about this case previously. She lives out in the middle of the woods somewhere, and she said she thought raccoons were coming up and going through her garbage every night. And so one night she heard the same rustling out the front porch, and she grabbed her shotgun, and she opened the door, and she said it wasn't raccoons. It was a 9-foot Bigfoot that was standing there right in front of her, 6 feet away. And she said she instinctively pulled the gun up and fired. And she said before she could pull the trigger, and she described it, and Stan said the same thing. He talked to her, but I'd read this previously too. She described it as like an old Instamatic flash camera going off. There was a poof of light and the Bigfoot was just gone. This is in between the time she pulled up the rifle and fired. She did actually fire the rifle. It went into nothing. There was nothing there. And she said this thing was standing 6 feet away from her. So, you know, how do you explain shit like that? Well, okay, so here's an explanation. And this is the reason I'm bringing this up. There's this guy, and this was also in the Daily Star from the UK. He says that Bigfoot are hybrid DNA hybrid beings constructed from the DNA of extraterrestrials, humans, and grizzly bears. That it's a three cross. And you stop and think about it. That's exactly what Bigfoot is. You know, it's like. Because there's been a lot of reports where people see Bigfoot that they also see UFOs simultaneously. And there's a few people who say they've actually seen UFOs land and big Bigfoot walk out of them. Now, okay, you know, the, obviously this stuff can be made up, and also there aren't many people who have seen the latter, but that has been reported. But the thing is, if you stop and think about this, and also the fact that, okay, so we had Les Velez on just last night, and he's dealing with people seeing they've been abducted by aliens, and his book is about this. It's called The Unknown Other. I'm going to have this up on our blog tomorrow. I haven't had a chance to do it yet. If you, it's a fascinating book. It really is. And, you know, so most of the people who say they've been abducted, who can get the aliens to talk about this shit, and a lot of them do, apparently, that there's a hybridization program going on, that they're basically they're kidnapping humans to get their DNA because they're making hybrid human and alien people, half and half. So, and as Velez said during our interview, go back and listen to it, it's really fascinating. He said that by the fourth or fifth generation, these hybrid beings look exactly like humans. They don't right away. The first generation doesn't. But after you go through three or four generations, they basically look like humans, you know? So now we can go have a long discussion of another hour about why they're doing that. But the case is, that's a logical reason you kidnap people, is to get their DNA. And also, if you need DNA, you need a lot of unique DNA. You know, that's the thing. Otherwise, you know, you start to look like the royal family. You know, crossbreed, incest and crossbreeding is not good. There's a reason that's illegal. But this is, when you stop and think about this, this is also it's a really good explanation of Bigfoot. If you were, and you know, if you're 10,000 years ahead of us, you know, screwing around DNA is probably not too difficult. Hell, it's not even that difficult for us anymore, you know? So let's say you wanted to, you're interested in experimenting. Let's cross gray aliens with the humans, and then cross that them with the grizzly bears. You know, look what you get. That's the reason I'm bringing this up. It actually, that explains a whole bunch of shit. It really does. So I don't know. I'm leaving you with that. That's how we're going to end this tonight. Now, we're not doing a show tomorrow. Thursday, we usually do a show. We're not doing a show tomorrow night. Our next show is Monday, the 25th, Monday night. This coming Monday, it's our 100th show. So our guest is going to be Murray Sabrin. We're playing the Gun Hill Road, a new music video for their new song, Damn Scammers. Our friend Michael Harrison is in that band. That band is about, no shit, about 60 years old, 55, something like that. The band's been running for 50 years. They were famous in the 1960s. I mean, less famous now, but as Michael's explained, especially because of his connection to talk radio in the United States, he's the founder of Talkers Magazine, which is the industry Bible for talk media in the U.S. Because of his connection to it, they get played on a lot of talk stations as bumper music. And the reason they do that is because the songs are mostly issue-oriented. Like this one is about scammers and fishers online. So I've seen the music video. It's pretty cool. And actually, their music videos are really cool. They use AI to generate parts of them. And they did one music video, and I can't remember if it's the one. Michael Harrison was on here for World Radio Day because he was the advisor hired by the United Nations to put it together. And the fact he came on our show is just freaking amazing. You know, I mean, I'm sure he had 2,500 places he could have gone where more people would have seen him, but he came here, which is, I was just really honored. And I think it was that video we played for Music World Radio Day that was entirely generated by AI. And it looked pretty damn cool. It didn't necessarily look real, you know, but you know, it's a music video. It's not supposed to. So, it looked legitimately cool. It was a very, very cool thing. So they do that. So, you know, now, I mean, you're talking about guys in their 70s now. I don't know if they're all original band members, but I mean, they're all about the same age. So anyway, we're going to play that on Monday too. And Murray Sabrin, and have a bunch of people call in, and you can call in too. You know, I hope you do. I hope you can get a few people to call in on Monday night. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, 100 shows. Who the hell would have thought when we started this little rinky-dink thing? So we got 2,000 followers on Rumble now. I want to thank you for that too. It's and Rumble of the, all the places we broadcast is the only real place I pay attention to. And we just got canned by Facebook. The only thing that surprised me by of that is I just assumed YouTube was going to can us first, and they didn't. We're still on YouTube. But actually, honest to God, based on what I know and my experience, I expect eventually they will can us because they're social justice warriors. You know, as conservatives, we're wrong. You know, so yeah, I learned how to live with it. Anyway, I hope you have a great weekend. We're going to get snow here in Minneapolis, so we haven't snowed basically all winter. So this should be really interesting. They're saying now it's going to snow starting tomorrow night, bring it 2 to 5 inches, and then starting Sunday, they originally said that it's going to snow for 3 days. Now they're saying it's going to be mostly rain. And if that's the case, well, rain and snow mixed together is really, really messy, but the snow doesn't stick around. So, you know, looks like that maybe it's going to happen again, that we will get no snow or that it will fall and go away right away. Anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie. And good night to you, wherever you are. You have a nice weekend. We'll see you on Monday for our 100th show. Take care.